It's one of them! That thing's from Jersey, too! What is it?
It's called a Snooky. It's very famous.
That thing is famous? Why?
I don't know!
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's kill it!
Snooky!
Don't let it get away! Where is it? Who was that? Get it off of me!
Snooky, it's me!
Shoot it!
Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 33. This is a bit of a last-minute put-together, although not entirely. I mean, I was prepared one way or another, and Brian was prepared one way or another, but we weren't sure if we were going to have the time to really put out an episode this week. So I'm not going to make any excuses for the length of the episode. I think we're going to keep it short on purpose, because based on some of the listener feedback and stuff, I feel like we're putting out so much stuff sometimes that people are getting bogged down and left behind a little bit, so we didn't have any listener email responses this week, and we're actually going to push that poll question through to next week. But I'm neglecting you, Brian. How you doing? Sorry.
No, I'm good. Go for it.
Brian's here, of course. And we're going to go right into Geek Outs and Freak Outs, because there's one of the things we really, really want to talk about this week is in the news block and breaking news as of, I don't know, within the half hour. So
yeah, like 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, so we really wanted to just get our opinions out about that, or else we might have even just skipped this week, but we're going to give you at least a short show to listen to this time. So geek outs first. Do you have any geek outs this week, Brian?
Yay!
Do I want to go into the news one, or do I want to just save that for the news?
Probably save it for the news.
All right.
It will be here very soon.
Yes. Besides that, I think I've been saying this for the past 3 weeks, but I will continue. But WrestleMania is on Sunday, so a week from today. So I'm excited every year. I always get excited around this time, WrestleMania fever. So even if you're not a wrestling fan, I think WrestleMania is one of those things, kind of like the Super Bowl for wrestling fans. But it's exciting, and it looks like it's going to be a good show this year, so I'm excited.
Nice. I am also very pumped. A lot of classic guys showing up and...
Yeah, should be a good show.
Absolutely. And Brian and I were thinking about doing a WrestleMania recap for all of you, which will be a bonus episode. Hopefully a bonus, unless we don't have time to do our regular show and that we just make it the show for that week. But we'll definitely be recording sometime next weekend, I hope. And then we'll do a recap, I don't know, whenever we get a chance, really. It's just tough squeezing it in. Any other geek outs?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. It's sort of a, not so much.
Okay. The only geek out I have this week is actually a pretty short one. It is somewhat news-based, but we're not covering it in the news, so I'll just bring it up real quick. Marvel is creating a new Spider-Man cartoon that we reported on a while back at this point, but they did reveal that J.K. Simmons will be voicing J. Jonah Jameson in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, yes. I forgot about this was announced. Yeah, you're right. Very good. Very good. Exciting news.
Yeah, and for people who don't know who J.K. Simmons is, he was the actor that played J. Jonah Jameson, that is a tongue twister, in Sam Raimi's most recent Spider-Man movie. So it's very cool that he's reprising that role for the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon.
And he was so good. I mean, he pretty much, like, he was J. Jonah Jameson. He was so spot on with his, I just wish he had almost like a larger part in movies, because he was only in like such small parts, and the parts he had parts he was in were so awesome. So
yeah, he nailed it.
So should be good. I mean, this I think this cartoon has potential to be awesome. I mean, it's got Paul Dini, who was one of the top writers on Batman in the animated series. Mm-hmm. It's got Bendis writing in there. It looks like it's going to be a good show. So
they did show a quick clip of the cartoon at either WonderCon or
I think it was ChicagoCon last
week. Okay, at C2E2, and that's already been pulled off of YouTube. And it looked the animation looks pretty good. My one worry is that they're bringing in too many elements from the movie. Like, he has a watch to communicate with Nick Fury and everything, and that's a little odd.
I think that's more that's taking more from Ultimate Spider-Man, which he did have not the watch part, but like the whole Nick Fury thing is definitely from Ultimate Spider-Man. So I mean, I understand why they're bringing that in, but yeah, I didn't see the clip, so I can't really I can't comment on it. But I didn't actually see the clip, but so.
Yeah, it was all ham or like handheld camera shot, so it was very shaky.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah,
but I did hear J.K. Simmons' voice in it, which is cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Freakouts then this week.
Oh, freakout!
Anything?
Freakouts. I had one. Now I just dropped my... Do yours first, because I just lost mine.
Okay.
It's here somewhere.
Mine is that I downloaded and installed and played the WWE All-Stars demo. And at first, I was kind of iffy about this game. I had been saying for years that if they gave us a game that was just kind of crazy and had, like, moves that were insane, then it would be a lot of fun. And I didn't even need a WWE roster. I could create my own based on everything they had. And I still want a game like that. And I'm not sure WWE All-Stars is that game, because as soon as I saw the character designs, I was already a bit turned off to it because it looks very blocky and I don't...
Cartoony.
Yeah, and I understand their reasoning for doing it. I just don't think it works very well. And the play feels a lot like it looks. It's just very clunky, and it's not as precise as it should be. And I am trying to get a review copy so I can get a better idea of what this game will actually be like. But as the demo showed it, I really don't see a lot of promise. It is basically a wrestling fighting game version. And like the intros are cut down and everything. I don't like that. And
I didn't like that at all. Exactly. I forgot about that. Yeah. I played it as well. And I thought it was so stupid. Like they do like, you can barely see the Titantron. They do like 2 seconds of the intro and they cut like right to that. I'm like, okay, that sucks. Hopefully that might've been just for the demo, but I don't know.
It's actually not just for the demo. I've seen other intros as well. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that sucks. That sucks big time. And the fact, I mean, they had Ultimate Warrior and Rey Mysterio as their two choices. I'm like, okay, why not put somebody who hasn't, like, been in, like, at least have Macho Man in the demo who hasn't been in any game since ever. So I don't know. I thought it was kind of cheesy to pick, like, two characters that, you know, Ultimate Warrior was in the game they did a couple years ago that were our Legends of WrestleMania. So, but no, I just thought, I agree. The move's very clunky. You have, like, the basic kick punch, and you have, like, special moves and super moves. And, yeah, it's like a fighting wrestling game. And I don't know. It just... The roster looks impressive. Like, you can see on the character select screen, they have a lot of cool legends and guys from nowadays. But I just think you're right. I think the gameplay, the graphics just don't look... The only thing that did seem kind of cool when I was scrolling through the menus that was locked was they have something called Fantasy Warfare that it puts together potential matches that you would have never seen, and it has video clips from each of all the going into it, which would be cool to see, but yeah, not worth the $60. So,
it is a great concept. I just don't know if it was executed properly. Two things that really bug me while I'm playing through is that it is a fighting game, so it's very fast-paced, but there's no selling, and that's half of wrestling right there.
No, not at all. It's just like... the one they did a couple years ago, Legends of WrestleMania, was better. They had more... was less cartoony, less blocky. They had a lot of legends, and they also had a cool thing where you could import the roster from, I think it was SmackDown versus Raw 2008. So it looked more realistic, and it was like the best of both worlds, I thought. It was a much better way to do it, where this is like, I don't know, this just seems more, definitely based more for kids, and, you know, that's fine, but I don't know. I don't think, and it sucks, like you said, it's such an interesting concept that I would think would be great, but yeah.
Yeah, the other thing that bugs me a little bit in relation to the selling is they don't make any noise, like audibly. No vocal whatever. So getting hit, they're
probably
not like,
to the fact they probably...
like any fighting game, you just punch a guy and he's and it's not there.
And I think I was kind of disappointed. Even the announcing, like they had said, like, "Oh, JR," like, didn't really. It seemed like either he was too muted, or the commentary I didn't think was very well done either. I didn't think.
Honestly, I didn't even notice it, which means it was not that well done.
Yeah, it was very muted, I thought. So, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, I was just like, okay, there goes my... I'm like, this demo sucks.
Yeah, save myself like, 60 yeah, bucks at so. Least.
Exactly. So...
Well, that's my freak out.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that might have been the same... I had something... I don't think I had anything else. And that may have been the same thing I was thinking of, because I can't think of anything.
Oh, okay. So. That's all right. We have other stuff I'm sure you're anxious to talk about.
Yes.
Last week, I had asked the listeners what they thought of the new Wonder Woman TV costume, and I've gotten zero responses. Again, I don't know if people are just bogged down with all the stuff we're putting out there and they're having trouble catching up, or maybe they just weren't interested in the question. But I'm going to let that hang right into next week. So if you want to submit your answer, what do you think of the new Wonder Woman TV costume? You can check it out on thegeekgeneration.com, and you can send your answer to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. I do have another idea to get some other responses, and hopefully I'll have time to put that together this week and debut it for you guys next week. But
can I jump on my soapbox for 1 second?
Go right ahead.
This is not like I just would say, you know, I would just like to have some sort of feedback when we're there. If you don't like the poll question, you know, let us know. If you don't like what we're doing on the show, let us know. Just some sort of, you know, more feedback would be helpful. Like, just tell us what you like, dislike, what would you like to see, what you don't want to hear. If we annoy you, if something we cover annoys you, just let us know. I just think, you know, it would be more helpful to put out a better show for you guys. So that's all I want to say.
Yeah, like, we have been talking a little more about wrestling here and there, and if people don't want that kind of stuff,
want that, then we can cut it down. Yeah, sure. Exactly. I mean, if this is for you guys, for your guys' benefit. So if you don't want to hear about, you know, wrestling, then we can always talk about other things. So any sort of feedback would be helpful. It's bottom line.
Absolutely. And if you guys hate Brian, I'll fire him right away. I kid.
This is true.
I kid.
If you hate Rob, we'll fart now.
Wait, what?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but we are planning. We have a lot of things in the works that we just haven't had the time to fully implement and execute yet. And we're going to do that. So the show will have further evolving. It's not stopping and staying the way it is. We do have things in mind that we will implement. And yes, Brian is staying around for anyone that's worried. That was a joke. And we are going to bring back in some other voices as well, too. But Brian and I will always be here one way or the other. So let's go right into news. Top story this week, and the breaking news that we alluded to earlier, 3-time Oscar nominee Amy Adams has been cast in the role of Lois Lane for Zack Snyder's upcoming Superman reboot. Quote, "There was a big giant search for Lois," Snyder said of the casting. "For us, it was a big thing and obviously a really important role. We did a lot of auditioning, but we had this meeting with Amy Adams, and after that, I just felt she was perfect for it." What do you think about this, Brian?
Woo, great choice. I was very worried because after Superman Returns, I was very worried that they were going to cast, you know, an actress that couldn't act. And no offense to Kate Bosworth, she may be a good actress, I don't know. I haven't seen her that many other things, but she just was not Lois Lane. So, I don't know, part of me, Amy Adams maybe doesn't have to look quite of Lois Lane. She maybe looked more like, people are already saying she may look more like a Lana Lang, or, you know, probably for the red hair, I'm sure they'll take care of that. But I think she's a fantastic actress, and I think she's will do a fantastic job. I mean, anyone who's seen her in The Fighter or numerous other movies she's been where she does serious roles, I think can see that she'll be perfect, and I think it's a fantastic choice. And I was a little worried about this movie, but this sort of made me a little more calmer about it. So I think, I mean, a lot of people, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Sucker Punch has gotten pretty bad reviews.
Right.
That's his next movie, is Superman. So I think a lot of people were worried. I think this is a little sort of a little cushion to say, okay, it might be okay. It's not going to be a giant music video that Sucker Punch looks like. So I think this was a great timing and a great choice, I think, for it to come out. So
yeah, I'm a big fan of Amy Adams as well. She is a phenomenal actress, and while I didn't really even consider her as one of the potentials for Lois Lane, I can really agree with it.
Yeah. I think the funny thing is that 10 years ago, she was on the first season of Smallville in the episode Craving, where she played the girl who had the eating disorder, where she was fat and she took the kryptonite and it made her wicked thin or whatever. It was basically one of the worst episodes of the entire series, but she was really, really young, and it's just funny that she's now coming back to the same franchise 10 years later as a completely, like, Oscar-nominated actress. And I mean, I think she was also in a small role in Buffy at one point too. So it's just funny to see someone who is in these teen TV shows now being in like a big movie.
That's funny. I remember that Smallville episode, but I don't necessarily remember her being in it. So
yeah, it was before she was like known at all. So yeah, very early.
No, that's cool. And the worry about Zack Snyder with Superman, I think people getting a little bit too worried. Let's keep in mind that he is working with some canon here. It's not just his own devices, and
I think
he has Christopher Nolan overseeing the whole thing.
I think that's the difference, is that Zack Snyder wrote Sucker Punch, and this isn't going to be written by Zack Snyder. I think that's what people are forgetting. They're like, oh my God. I'm like, well, yeah, there's a script by David Goyer and Christopher Nolan. I mean, I trust them that it's not going to be I think that's the difference. It's not going to be a girl in a school outfit shooting a machine gun at dragons out a plane window. Not to say that's bad. I'm just saying, you know, people are expecting it to be like, oh my God, it's going to be giant eye candy. So, well, I'm sure there's going to be eye candy, but I think in the right way.
Right. And I think that's why they brought Zack Snyder into it. They know what he's capable of. With creating those amazing visuals.
Yeah,
so exactly. That's what they want from him. And then the story, they have the right people for, the producer, they have the right person for, and it'll all come together. And I'm maintaining faith in this one. In Nolan, we trust.
Yes, exactly.
We've said it before, we'll say it again.
If he wasn't attached, I'd be more worried. Yes.
Next story here is that the Captain America, the first trailer came out. What did you think of that?
Oh my God, fantastic. That should have been one of my geek outs. How did I not remember that? I thought that came, just amazing. As good as the Thor trailer, maybe even better. Love the, period piece style of it. Love the acting. Love the, only thing I was a little iffy about was the look of Chris Evans, pre-Super Soldier Serum, where he kind of looked a little CGI, which was kind of a little awkward.
A little bit, but I think they did a really nice job with that.
And plus, they can, obviously, I mean, they've got plenty of months to figure that out to picture perfect. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I loved the trailer. I thought it was fantastic. Everyone, I haven't heard one negative thing about it. Of course, there's the couple fanboys who just like to hate everything. But for the general public and the comic book fans, pretty much overwhelmingly thought it was amazing. A couple of people bitching that Captain America was using a gun. Of course, they don't remember this is taken from the Ultimate Comics where he used a gun. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I thought it looked great costume-wise, set design-wise, acting-wise. Just looks great. It's going to be a totally different movie than Thor, but I think it's going to be a great movie. So I can't wait.
I pretty much agree on all accounts, and I think it makes it more interesting to have these varying characters when they all do come together for Avengers.
Which I guess, I don't know if you saw the announcement, I guess that has been announced to have been starting filming this week. So.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
Yeah. So, should be interesting. It's tightly under wraps. So, no, there's no leak of anything of some sort of any of it. So,
very cool.
We'll see.
At its upfront presentation in New York this week, Cartoon Network announced the 2012 launch of DC Nation, an on-air and online programming block of DC animation properties, quote, populated with event programming, interstitials, exclusive behind the scenes of theatrical production, and an insider look into the world of all things DC. The block, whose content will be produced by Warner Brothers Animation, is the latest effort under Time Warner's new mandate to better integrate DC Comics with the company's film and TV divisions. Had you heard of this before?
I did. I think it's going to be, at first I was wondering, they're just going to have like a block of their old, because at first I thought, is this going to be like a block of, you know, Batman, animated series, Superman, Justice, because they have all that stuff on Cartoon Network, but from what I read, it seems like it's going to be include, you know, Young Justice, which is on now, which is fantastic, the Green Lantern series, which is launching this fall, which is going to be fantastic, and I guess other stuff, I read somewhere, I think they're going to do a Young Justice event called, like, Invasion or something that's supposedly introducing more DC characters, but it's going to be, it looks like, a lot more new content. So I think it's a good idea. I mean, Young Justice has been really great, and in the ratings for Cartoon Network, it's been phenomenal. Yep. So I think they realize that, and they want it more of the same. So I think that was it makes logical sense with WB and DC. So
I heard really great interview with Greg Weisman, one of the producers of Young Justice as well, this weekend. And one of the things he mentioned that is really amazing, actually, is that they're working very carefully to create a solid continuity between the series and the comic books. If you notice in the series, there are those timestamps and like a date of when everything takes place.
Yep.
They have those same timestamps and everything in the comics. So if you wanted to, if you really wanted to be that much of a fanboy, you could line up by time code the events that take place in the cartoon in comparison to the comic.
Yeah, basically the comic takes place in the minutes in between, in the hours and days in between the episodes.
Which is so amazing.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, Greg Weisman has such a great history. For those who don't know, he created the Gargoyles cartoon,
which was awesome, one of my favorites ever. So good.
He also co-created or helped write the Spectacular Spider-Man show, which I thought was the best Spider-Man cartoon to date.
Way underrated and got canceled right when it was getting good.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got a great background in animation. He also used to be an intern for DC Comics, so he knows his shit. So
yeah,
good stuff.
Yeah, I have two stories here, and I can give you the good news or the bad news first. Which one do you want to hear?
Bad news first.
All right. 2K Games and Gearbox Software announced on Thursday that Duke Nukem's glorious comeback in Duke Nukem Forever will now explode at retail on June 10th, 2011 internationally and June 14th, 2011 in North America on the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and Windows PC. Quote, in case you haven't heard, Duke never comes early, said Christoph Hartmann, president of 2K. We're committed to deliver a laugh-out-loud, politically incorrect experience that people will talk about for years to come. We thank Duke's fans for their continued patience. I promise this won't take another 15 years. So, if you didn't get the message there, Duke Nukem Forever has been delayed about 6 weeks from its initial release, which is almost hysterical.
Yeah, at this point, I think a bunch of people were just like, I think we're going to be dead by the time this game comes out. Because it's been hilarious. I was in high school when this game was in development originally, and then they sold the company went under and they sold it and all that. I mean, it's been in development for 15 years. It's hilarious how, I mean, I think it's hilarious. I hope it comes out June 14th, but at this point, I wouldn't bet on it. I'm sure it will, but, you know, who knows at this point. It may be slated to be one of those games that just never comes out. So.
Right, and it's kind of funny in a way.
It is kind of funny, hysterically. It's just like...
Well, then here's the good news. Yeah. I do have some news on the multiplayer modes that Duke Nukem Forever will feature, and it will feature four different ones. Two of them are Duke Match and Team Duke Match, which are essentially both deathmatch modes. There is a mode called Hail to the King, which is a King of the Hill style mode. And lastly, which is receiving some controversy, is a mode called Capture the Babe, which is basically a Capture the Flag type game mode, but it features a babe who will sporadically, quote, freak out, which then necessitates a, quote, reassuring slap.
And, oh my goodness.
Which is, oh, geez. It's right in the humor of Duke Nukem, but don't worry, it's not a slap in the face, it's a slap in the ass. So they've clarified that. And for any controversy that people going, oh, what the hell, you hit a chick and that's what the game is about and that's vile and everything, Penny Arcade did a fantastic comic based on this, and they intelligently responded saying, did you know there's a mode in Call of Duty where you murder like a million people? It's called Call of Duty. So I thought that was a fantastic response to that whole controversy. And the multiplayer modes are very Duke and sound wonderfully fun.
That's fantastic. I just love how people overreact to things like that and yet don't care about, like, I mean, come on, like, Grand Theft Auto, they were like, oh, well, there's you know, prostitutes and hookers, but yet they didn't care about you sniping people with a sniper rifle and blowing their heads off and stuff. It's like, oh, so that, like, the violence kind of goes over their heads, but, like, anything related to, like, women stuff gets all of a sudden, like, you know, PC and I don't know. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's the controversy is hilarious and the response to it was just as, so.
It's perfect.
Yeah, so. It really is. Let's see. Deadline is reporting that the script for Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures Akira has been sent to a short list of actors. The site says that the script has two major roles, one for the role of Tetsuo, that got sent to Robert Pattinson, Andrew Garfield, and James McAvoy. For the role of, I don't know if I'm saying this right, it's been forever since I've seen Akira. Is it Kaneda or Kaneda?
It's Kaneda.
Kaneda, yeah. Okay. That's been sent to Garrett Hedlund, Michael Fassbender, Chris Pine, Justin Timberlake, and Joaquin Phoenix. Filming is currently targeted for an August start. What do you think about some of these?
Akira was one of the very first, well, after Robotech was my first anime, but then I saw Akira on, like, the Sci-Fi Channel when they used to run anime in the early 90s, and I just remember being, like, completely amazed and freaked out at the same time by this movie, and I can't, it'd be interesting to see. I just don't know how they're going to pull it off, and It's just, I mean, my friends and I used to kind of make fun of it because I don't remember if you remember, but, like, for half the movie, Kaneda is screaming at Tetsuo and vice versa. They're just like, Tetsuo, Kaneda, back and forth for, like, the entire movie. And so we would just, like, do that all the time. It was hilarious. And so I don't know. It's been so long. I think it should be. I don't know if it's going to resonate with this generation, or if no one even probably remembers Akira, but I think it'll be interesting to see how they attempt to do it. I don't know. Supposedly there is going to be a Robotech live action, all these other animes, and I don't know. I think it. I'll be surprised if it actually gets made, and if it does well. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But
my first anime, I think, was Ninja Scroll, which is
that's another good
amazing.
One.
Yep. And then I really just got into like Dragon Ball Z and Outlaw Star and shows like that.
But, Outlaw Star, Cowboy Bebop was good. Yeah,
yeah. Akira, I saw it years and years ago, and I didn't really like it because I still don't know what the hell was going on to
it's
this
kinda
day.
It's kind of crazy. You have the giant, like, blobbing arms and weird giant teddy bears that are oozing, like, milk and stuff, and yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it was very strange, but I do think it's funny based on the people that they're looking at to cast that it could end up with like James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender side by side, and it's X-Men First Class all over again.
X-Men First Class 2, Akira.
Right.
This time they go to Japan.
Nice. So that's an interesting one right there. Lastly in the news, Kevin Reilly, the president of entertainment for Fox, announced that Fox has renewed the critically acclaimed thrilling drama Fringe for a fourth season. Quote, Fringe has truly hit a creative stride and has distinguished itself as one of television's most original programs. The series' ingenious producers, amazingly talented cast and crew, as well as some of the most passionate and loyal fans on the planet, made this fourth season pickup possible, said Reilly. When we moved the show to Fridays, we asked the fans to follow, and they did. We're thrilled to bring it back for another full season and keep it part of the Fox family.
Can I just do a giant eye roll right now in my head? Bring on the hate mail, but I'm going to go on a rant now.
Go ahead.
I watched Fringe. I gave it a chance, first four or five episodes of season one. It was a decent show. Nothing special. Good. It was an okay, seemed very X-Files-ish to me. Didn't seem to do anything special. I'm just pissed off, and this is me personally, that Fox, you know, there's a bunch of good shows, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Firefly, Dollhouse, that, you know, they put on Friday nights, they moved around, and you know, we're going to give them a chance, and then they cancel them outright. But yet Fringe, for some reason, seems to be getting, like, all this extra support from the network, and I know why it is. It's because it's got, it's J.J. Abrams, and I understand this. I just think it's a stupid bias, and I know there's people that love the show, and I know the whole alternate reality stuff, but to me, it's a good show, but I don't think it deserves the extra super support that they're giving it, while all these other shows that were great got shit-canned. I mean, there's numerous other shows Fox has shit-canned way faster and for no reason, and this show just seems to be going on and on and on. For the fans of it, I'm happy for you, but for me, I'm pissed off. So.
Yeah, I haven't even seen Fringe yet, actually, but I did hear it is very X-Files-ish and does like a Monster of the Week thing in the beginning, and then it really gets going once they introduce the alternate universe and all that stuff.
Exactly.
So I am curious to watch it, and I think I will, but... clearly I wasn't really supporting the show to get.
No, it's like, I don't get it. Oh, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
So,
well,
whatever.
For those who like it, congrats. Yeah. The rest of us will continue to either not watch it or just watch it in DVD seasons after it gets
canceled. Feel free to send all your hate mail to.
So we do have a little extra time today. So, I was taking a look at this New York Times article that I was really interested in, and, thought we should address it here on the show. It's basically a list of gadgets you should get rid of or keep based on how useful they would be in the average person's life nowadays. And there are some things that I agree with here, and there's some things that I don't agree with here. So let's do a quick rundown of some of these things. The first one they list is a desktop computer. Something like that. Would you say lose it or keep it?
Depends. If you're a gamer, you keep it. If you are not a gamer, lose it.
Okay. They say lose it. They say you may have one now, but are you really going to replace that desk-bound PC when it becomes out of date? Assuming you are not a hardcore gamer or a video editor, laptops have all the necessary computing power the average user needs. If you want to replicate that desktop experience, you can always connect your laptop to a larger display and keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically just the video. If you need, like, a good video card, I mean, you know, people who like to build their own computers and pimp them out for gaming, that's where you keep the desktop computers, I think, is where that's the only thing that's keeping them afloat right now, so.
Well, Brian, you and the New York Times are both incorrect, because you should absolutely keep your desktop computer, and I will tell you why right now.
Okay.
Granted, I am someone that uses my computer a lot more than the average person, and even have two monitors in order to do so. But laptops, for one, overheat if you leave them on too long. Now, I'm someone who leaves my computer on all day, and I think a lot of people do. You don't want to do that with laptops. So if you're planning on leaving your computer on, desktop's the way to go. Also, laptops are way more expensive for the same power as a desktop equivalent. So if you're trying to save money, again, desktop is the better way to go. I don't need, like, I have my netbook. I think most people these days have more than one computer. So why not keep one of them a desktop? I don't understand that, like, that's hatred for them. So that's the right answer.
I failed. I fail. You were right.
The next thing, understandable. The next thing they say is high speed internet at home. Keep it or lose it.
I'd say keep it because, for file transfers and downloading and up. I mean, yeah, if you, you know, are out somewhere, you can go to like a Starbucks or a Barnes & Nobles and use their Wi-Fi or whatever, or, you know, have your iPhone. But I mean, for moving big files stuff and still, I think you'd still need, you know, your home internet.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're watching streaming videos, I know you can do that on your phone, but the quality, I mean, to me, I would think keep it, but that's just me.
Okay. New York Times says keep it. With the advent of devices like the MiFi, which converts a 3G mobile signal into a Wi-Fi cloud for multiple devices to share, you might be thinking about giving your internet service provider the boot and using your cell phone as your internet connection, even when at home. That would work, provided that you get a strong data signal where you live, that you never intend to stream video from Netflix, YouTube, or Hulu, and that you have an unlimited data plan from your wireless provider. Given all these caveats, it probably makes more sense to stick with your ISP. And again, you agree with the New York Times. But this time you're both correct. You should absolutely keep your high-speed internet at home. I don't even have a data phone because those things are so screwed up, and I don't even want to get into that world. I've said it before, I say it again. I want my phone to make phone calls. And when you have a data phone, you are impeding your phone's ability to do that. So there's enough Wi-Fi going around where I can use my iPod Touch, and I don't have to worry about having everything on a separate 3G or 4G connection.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Next one here is cable TV. Keep it or lose it?
Personally, for me, I'd keep it, but I'm sure they're probably going to say lose it because for some reason I have a feeling there's the you know, the whole everything's going to be streaming off straight from your TV and you know, all the digital formats and all, you know. I mean, I know people that survive without it, but I've kind of grown accustomed to cable TV, so I think it would be like a culture. I mean, I'd feel some sort of like, what do you call it? I'd feel a loss if I lost. I can't think of the word.
Yeah.
I'm retired. But yeah.
Well, New York Times agrees with you to a point. And I think they kind of copped out. They said it depends.
That's not a good answer.
Nah, I want definitive here. It says, while you may and should hold on to a good broadband connection at home, it is debatable whether you need to pay for cable TV. Sports fans probably will want to keep it, as many leagues restrict online content, but casual viewers who mainly want some shows and movies to watch could get by with a good internet connection and some low-cost subscriptions to services like Netflix, Hulu Plus, and Amazon Instant Video.
Yeah, but there's still I mean, you can. There's still shows that you can't get that way, but I guess, yeah, so I don't know. That is a cop-out answer, but okay.
Well, the answer is lose it. And the reason is, I mean, if you're into sports, I understand that.
Sports.
Keep it. I'm not into sports. The only thing I ever want cable TV for is when I'm ordering pay-per-views, and a lot of the time now, those I can even get online and put on a TV, but right now I don't have my computer necessarily directly connected to my TV in order to do that. But yeah, WWE pay-per-views are like the one thing I would even want a cable TV service for. I don't have cable TV. Fortunately, my parents do, but I do not, and I haven't had it for years because I watch almost everything online, or I get it through my Netflix streaming account or anything like that. I have no need for a cable TV subscription at all anymore.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess I just, I don't know. I like, my parents have cable TV, and, you know, they have the HD channels and stuff, and some of the stuff on there looks a lot better on than you can watch it on, like, and it's all, you know, whatever, your personal taste. I mean, watching Raw in HD on a 1080p TV is different than watching it, you know, downloading it off the internet or watching it through that.
Absolutely.
Or streaming. So, I mean, that's the only difference I see. And plus, like you said, pay-per-views. So
yeah, I think HD is really keeping traditional television alive. But the one thing that you do have to have here if you're going to ditch cable TV is some sort of technical know-how to put all this other stuff together. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be as easy, but it will save you a lot of money, pretty sure.
And I think the on-demand services now that Verizon and Comcast have is a little way of trying to also keep people, because they have a lot of on-demand content that, yes, you can get the same things online, but, you know, that's their look, you have thousands and thousands of programming that you can just watch on demand. So, you know, that's the thing that's keeping them afloat too, I think.
Yeah. Next one here is a point-and-shoot camera, and that does refer to digital as well, so they're not just referring to traditional film cameras. What do you think about that one? Keep it or lose it?
Keep it. Because there's certain things, even if you have the greatest, you know, cell phone camera or whatever sort of contraption, there's just something said about taking high-quality pictures, or if you're a real photographer, I think, you know, the old standard is still, you know, the way to go. I mean, I have a friend who just did his basement over, and, you know, wanted to take pictures to put on a website, and a friend of a friend was a photographer, and he used his old school with the tripod and everything, mm-hmm. and that was how he got certain pictures you couldn't get anywhere else. So
right.
Well,
the New York Times says to lose it.
Nah.
They say, yes, a dedicated camera will probably take a better picture than the small lens and image sensor of a smartphone, but it will not be that much better. And a point-and-shoot has limitations of its own. It is hard to share photos until you have transferred them to your computer, and there are no apps for cameras, as there are for smartphones, that allow you to quickly apply cool filters and treatments to the shots you took. Perhaps most important, a camera may or may not be close when a photo-worthy moment arises, but it's very likely that your phone will be.
I'm just trying to picture, like, people that are, like, photographers or, you know, or do modeling photos. They're not going to be taking them with their cell phones. I mean, there's always going to be a reason for real cameras, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't picture, you know, I'm just going to use my smartphone to take a picture. I don't know. It's a little...
Well, in this case, the New York Times is wrong, and you are absolutely correct. Because I say keep the point-and-shoot camera for certain. What idiot says to get rid of your camera for the crappy phones that are on cell phones? I don't care how many megapixels it takes. For one, the weight of a point-and-shoot camera is part of the stability of it.
Yep.
And I don't care if you don't have it around or what's more around. Let's not forget, I teach a digital photography class, mm-hmm. and the cell phone cameras do not offer nearly as much variety for someone who actually knows what they're doing with a camera.
Yeah, I think that's the whole key there is you have to know what you're doing. Because, yeah, obviously for the people that don't know anything about photography, yeah, I'm just going to use my camera because I'm taking random pictures. But, yeah, if you want, like, if you... options and details and things, manipulations much, much easier with a real camera.
Right. So absolutely keep your point and shoot camera.
Yeah.
This is the stupidest piece that this guy has said so far.
Really?
Yeah. But on that same note, how about a camcorder?
See, I still say keep. I mean, again, they have these phones now that you can record video on. Again, I don't know. It's a hard subject for the people who are lazy and just want to record quickly. And, you know, maybe I don't know how the difference in quality is because I've never recorded anything with my Android because I don't care. I don't ever want to record something with my phone. I just haven't had the opportunity. Maybe I think I may have it, like the Royal Rumble or something just to test it. But I mean, and the quality isn't that great. And I know they have HDMI outputs now on your phones and stuff. I don't do that stuff. So I say keep the recorder, camcorder.
Well, again, they say to lose it. Camcorders get squeezed at both ends of the video spectrum. On the low end, smartphones can capture video, and while it may not be IMAX quality, many people do not care. At the high end, new digital SLR cameras, which cost around $750 with a lens, can shoot full HD video while taking advantage of all the interchangeable lenses that were created for still photography. That camcorder you have now is probably the last one you will own. And once again, the New York Times is wrong. Because you should absolutely have a separate video camcorder. And again, a lot of those reasons are the same as a point and shoot camera. For one, I don't know who's going to be shooting videos that they're going to keep of their, like, kids and stuff with an iPhone.
On a smartphone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? Yeah, that's something I'm going to, this is a special moment. Let me take out my iPhone and you're like, really?
Right.
And I know there's certain people that are listening to this that are going to disagree, but that's just stupid.
Apparently, the author of this article has watched way too many YouTube videos, and camera shake is nothing to him anymore.
Yeah, apparently it's like, yeah, that's some great quality and stability with your iPhone.
Yeah, nice cinematography, numbnuts. Next thing here is an interesting one that I wouldn't even considered. USB thumb drive.
That's tough. I mean, I use mine to quickly transfer stuff if I need to bring it somewhere. But I know people now are all about, you know, you can transfer it to, you know, people who have backup shit on their hard drives or terabyte drives or, you know, move things around with the, I still say keep it just for the convenience of it being a quickly move stuff around that you quickly. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. I don't know.
Maybe New York Times says to lose this too.
Okay, then. Let's just lose
it. I know, right? Let's just throw it all in the trash. They say file sharing does not require hardware anymore. In almost any case you can think of, you can move files around digitally via the internet. That could mean signing up for a service like Dropbox, which creates a private shareable hard drive in the cloud, or by simply emailing yourself attachments and storing them in the drafts folder of Gmail, Yahoo Mail, etc. A USB drive is just something to misplace or break.
No, I disagree because, you know, honestly, if you, I have, like, say I want to transfer, I had a bunch of small episodes on my thumb drive. I'm not going to put those, email those to myself. How am I going to email those to myself? Like, something that large. That makes no sense. And I'm going to put it in Dropbox? Like, seriously? I don't know. I disagree with that completely. Sorry.
Well, no, don't apologize at all. I mean, on this one, I think the author's starting to prove that he might be functionally retarded. Who the hell suggests you get rid of your USB thumb drive?
I was just like, that's how I use it so often. It's like, if you lose it, then you're retarded. Like,
and they're saying it might misplace or break. Let's talk about the internet for a second and online file storage. You don't think stuff is going to like break down or they might lose your files or anything like that?
Or get corrupted or get a virus. Yeah, that's very secure if, you know, for things that you want to keep.
I'm holding in my hand right now my 16 gigabyte thumb drive that costs so little money that I can't even begin to tell you. This is what I keep all my work on. I also have it backed up on my home computer. I have it backed up on my school computer, and I get things between them with this. If I go to school one day and the internet's down, oh, what are you going to do? Guess what? I have a thumb drive. It's just called...
Oh, you're so 100%
yeah,
correct.
It's called reliability. And the physical... Yeah. And that's another reason I'm not going to start going into the buying digital video content thing. I want something that can sit on my shelf. I know it's there when I pop it in and it's going to work. That's it.
I'm giving you a virtual standing ovation right now.
It's okay. You can clap in the microphone. I'll take it. There you go.
But yeah, it's just... I don't understand this whole... I might as well throw him under the bus. There's a certain friend of mine who is like, he's like, I've decided I'm no longer going to buy DVDs because there's just no point to it anymore. You can just get everything digitally. I'd rather just watch everything streaming. And I'm just like, so you don't, all the things I'd like to keep, I'm sorry, but I like the collectability of saying I own this and looking on my shelf. Same thing with comic books. I'm not going to, everything on my iPhone, I don't care. I don't want to do it that way. So that's just me. But I think it's stupid. And I don't understand this whole, let's abandon everything that's tangible and put it all onto the digital frontier. It just seems weird.
The odds of Netflix streaming service going down are a lot greater than my Blu-ray snapping in half in the way into my PS3.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously they apparently don't care about quality either. It's like, let's see, I'm going to stream something or download something from a site, or I can just put in a Blu-ray that's going to look great in 1080p and watch The Dark Knight. Wow, I wonder which one's going to look better, a downloaded copy or a Blu-ray. I mean, it's just stupid to me. But there's certain people out there who have their own opinions, but I won't mention any names.
Well, their opinions are all wrong.
Thank you. Yeah. I needed that feedback.
Digital music player. Keep it or lose it.
I guess we're going to keep – I'm going to say keep, but I'm guessing they're going to say lose it because you can just stream music online all the time you want. I bet you that's what they said.
Let's say. They said lose it, probably. Do you have a smartphone? Then you have a music player. Yeah, why load yourself – does this guy have a friggin' iPhone jammed up his ass? Like, really? What is his obsession with smartphones?
Oh my God.
I'm getting along pretty well without a stupid smartphone.
I'm getting along pretty well with using my phone for phone-related stuff and having an iPod Touch for my music.
Yeah. He says, do you have a smartphone? Then you have a music player. Why load yourself down with an extra gadget? Apple popularized the music player with its iPod, but when was the last time you saw the iconic white box with the dial on the front? Music is data, and many malfunctioned devices can handle it along with many other kind of data like video, email, and apps. The one exception may be if you enjoy music while exercising. In that case, a tiny player like the $49 iPod Shuffle might be a better accessory than a larger, heavier smartphone.
I want to slap this guy in the face.
Yeah, he is starting to anger me.
It's just being stupid.
He started off well, and then...
Yeah, it made sense, and then it's just like generated into everything must be thrown away, and everything, you know, you don't need anything, you just need your smartphone. If you're on a desert island, you can survive with just your smartphone.
He probably got stuck watching Hoarders too many times, and just was like, oh my god, I have to get rid of everything, just in case.
Everything going to the trash, into the trash bin.
Good lord.
Oh my god.
Here we go. An alarm clock.
Alright, that one I can kind of see losing it. I do still like the traditional alarm clocks, but I know a lot of people that use their cell phones for alarm clocks, and I do from time to time. So I can see losing it, so I'll give you a partial I don't know answer on that, because I can see both sides.
He says keep it.
Of all the things he says.
Right? This is, I don't understand where the logic is coming in, because the alarm clock is probably one of the most reliable things that a smartphone can do, but that's the thing he wants to keep. But let's see.
But wait, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be easily breakable? What happens if your alarm clock?
Oh my god! Well, his rationale is smartphones can be terrific alarm clocks. They can ramp up the volume gradually, display weather information, and awaken you to your favorite song. And when on the road, they are still light years ahead of the incomprehensible alarm clocks in hotel rooms. But a recent daylight time glitch in iPhones that followed up the clock could give some early risers pause. Furthermore, setting and resetting smartphone alarms may require a dive into one submenu too many. Turning a little knob on the back of a clock and flipping a switch is still simplicity itself. This guy's talking about simplicity now?
Wait.
Having a Blu-ray inside of your Blu-ray player or a USB thumb drive inside of the computer is not, like, the simplicity angle there. We have to talk about online file storage and streaming media and all that garbage. Goodness. This guy's confusing the crap out of me.
This guy... Wow, how did this guy get this?
Who the hell wrote this?
Yeah, he's a responsible reporter. Wow, talk about stupid opinions.
This is by Sam Grobert at the New York Times. So, Sam, I'm thinking you might have an issue.
Keep those alarm clocks, people. It's so simple.
Absolutely. Well, the right answer is to absolutely keep your alarm clock. But if anything you are going to get rid of...
That's what I was going to say. Of all the ones, why would you... What the hell?
I would say the alarm clock is the one to lose. And actually, since I do have my... iPod Touch now. I actually use both. I use my alarm clock as my primary, and I've never really had an issue with waking up to it, but for whatever reason, with all this, the snow and stuff this winter, we've had a lot of power glitches, so I wasn't willing to take any chances. But
yeah, that's the
I keep my alarm clock set as my primary, and my iPod is set, I think, 3 minutes after my alarm clock, so that,
like,
so even if I don't get up for the first, I'll, the second one will get me out of bed.
Yeah.
Or, like you said, if that first one glitches or there's a power problem or something, I have a backup in place.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was he talking about? Submenus? I mean, I don't know, but my iTouch and even on my smartphone, you go to one menu and you say, every day I want it to do this exact same time. I mean, I don't know what he was really... Yes, one submenu too many. I have no idea.
Right. When I'm on my iPod, I swipe over, I hit utilities, and I go to clock, and I hit on.
It's very difficult.
What am I doing? But meanwhile...
But all this newfangled technology is not difficult.
Somehow I'm going to figure out how to use Dropbox, even though I can't turn on an alarm clock. This guy's an idiot. GPS unit.
That's tough. I would say keep, but I know the people that are like, well, you can have them on your phone now, but I'm sorry, but a real GPS, a tangible one that you can attach is a lot, you can update a lot easier, and it's a lot more reliable than the phone GPS. Plus, just having your phone out is kind of stupid, as opposed to just having the either a built-in GPS or one that attaches to your windshield is much easier.
Yeah. They say lose it. Or I should say Sam Grobert says lose it.
Yeah, I was kidding. But keep those alarm clocks. What the hell?
He says the least expensive GPS units cost around $80, but your smartphone can do the same thing. If not more, for half that price or even free. Android smartphones already have Google's turn-by-turn navigation app built in. And earlier this month, Google announced that the company would be including live and historical traffic data in route planning, so you hopefully get to where you're going faster. If you have an iPhone, you have several options for GPS apps, including Navigon's Mobile Navigator, which starts at $30, and ALK's Co-Pilot Live, starting at $20. Renting a car? Decline the optional GPS. If you have a smartphone, you already have one with you. Well, I'm going to continue my hatred for smartphones and say you should absolutely keep your GPS. How about let's have, again, these smartphones, the more they're being spread thin, the less and less they're going to function well with any one particular task. I want a GPS unit because I want it to tell me where to go. And that's all I want it to do. And I can leave it in my car. I'm not going to forget it.
Yeah, you don't need one thing that has 16,000 different uses. Instead, you've got something that, you know, hey, this is a GPS. It's a GPS.
Yeah. My GPS does its GPS thing and it does it really well. I don't want my directions interrupted by someone calling me. So
I'm starting.
The GPS is the way to go. I don't want my directions interrupted.
I'm starting to think this guy is like been paid off by some smartphone company to like promote the uses of smartphones, because everything's like, you can do this on your smartphone.
Yeah, and he's not allowed to argue cost as being a benefit for anything, because if you pay for any one of these units individually, the amount of money you're saving compared to getting that one smartphone and paying the subscription.
$20 a month or $30. Yeah, what the hell? Like, I don't get that. It's like you're paying a lot more by doing it on the smartphone, but okay.
He's not allowed to bring money into the equation on this one. No way. The last thing is books.
Yep. Now, here we go. I know they're going to...
You can get them on your smartphone!
Everyone just uses Kindle now.
I read on a smartphone with my magnifying glass.
Boyd and I discussed this on the point of comic books on Graphically Speaking, but I'm one of those people that just likes the tangibility of having the actual book in my hands. I don't like scrolling through an iPad to read a comic. Sorry, Todd, I know you're going to hate me, but I know you wrote me feedback saying how you think it's great to read comics on an iPad, but I just don't enjoy it that way. I don't feel... I grew up reading comics in books, in book form. I don't like the... it's not bad. I'd be okay to it if I was traveling or something, you know, or once in a while, but I'm just not into the throw away all your books and make everything on your Kindle forever in iPad and iTouches and
Yeah. Well, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't like the I've downloaded comics on my computer. Mm-hmm. I don't like swiping around on it. I like having the whole page in front of me.
Yeah.
And just having the book in hand, and I don't have to worry about my battery running out when I'm reading a book. And the one thing that I can do when the power goes out is read a book. So I say keep them. And he says keep them, with one exception. Yes, e-readers are amazing, and yes, they will probably become a more dominant reading platform over time. But consider this about a book. It has a terrific high-resolution display. It is pretty durable. You could get it a little wet, and all would not be lost. It has tremendous battery life. It is often inexpensive enough that if you misplaced it, you would not be too upset. You can even borrow them free at sites called libraries.
Wow.
But there is one area where printed matter is going to give way to digital content. That is cookbooks. Martha Stewart Makes Cookies, a $5 app for the iPad, is the wave of the future. Every recipe has a photo of the dish, something far too expensive for many printed cookbooks. Complicated procedures can be explained by an embedded video. When something needs to be timed, there's a digital timer built right into the recipe. You can email yourself the ingredients list to make to the grocery store. The app does what cookbooks cannot, providing a better version of everything that came before it.
Do you really just go on a rant about cookbooks?
I think so.
Okay, thank you. Just checking.
But oddly enough, I agree with him.
I know. I just thought it was funny because out of all things, like cookbooks, I'm like, really? Okay, then.
Well, yeah. If you can get functionality out of something digital that makes it better than what the book could be, then absolutely that should replace the book. And cookbooks are a really good example of that for all the reasons he mentioned it. You want to see a video of something. You have a timer built in. You can create a grocery list of the ingredients all digitally. That's all awesome. And actually, I use the site All Recipes a lot, and I keep all my stuff in there. Like, they allow you to create a recipe box of things from the site, and I check those out on my iPod while I'm cooking now, which is really convenient. I just wish the All Recipes app actually let you access those in your account that way. It's really just like a dinner spinner type thing.
Yeah.
But that's the end of Grobert's article.
Fail. Epic fail.
Yeah, I have to say on most counts that was pretty horribly done, and I feel like submitting my own to the New York Times.
But you are not an acclaimed, I don't know, I don't know if he may be a super awesome writer. I don't know. Shouldn't he be talking about the fact that newspapers are going under and there's no need for newspapers anymore?
Never mind. He probably should be, but apparently that was overlooked.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's because newspapers are more trashable than books, I guess.
Yeah, it's basically, you get them a day and you recycle or throw them out the next day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This episode ended up being a lot longer than I expected.
It's all right, whatever.
But I guess maybe people will be happy that they have a little bit of a longer episode than we anticipated. But as we start to get out of here today, do you have a final thought or something you'd like to plug?
Listen to Graphically Speaking. The new episode came out last Thursday-ish, so listen to that. It's good stuff. Again, I just think I'd like – Rob and I would like just some feedback. You know, where would you like the show to go? What is it coming out too often? Would you like weeks off? Just let us know so we can kind of easily better manage the show and make it better for you guys. So that was, again, I've said this before, but just reiterating.
Yeah, if the majority of people are having trouble keeping up with the show, especially when we're putting out so much, if you'd rather we do this every other week. So like if you get to a show and you're like, oh, crap, I would have liked to answer that poll question, but they've moved on already. Then we can slow down. I mean, I'm insanely busy. I was just telling Brian before we went on today that I'm at 9.5 hour work days right now. And then I come home and I do work for both the site and my regular job. So my time is incredibly limited right now. If you guys want to show every other week instead, that actually make my life easier. But I'm willing to do what the audience wants from us. So
just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. So. As I've said the last couple weeks, I ask the audience to please stop being selfish. If you're enjoying the show, please share it with your friends on Facebook and Twitter, or just tell them in person. You know, that's so, let's keep the in-person interactions, and we'll also keep the Facebook and the Twitter interactions and not lose any of that. Let's do that and share this stuff around. If you want to see any of the news articles that we talked about or videos or anything like that, go to thegeekgeneration.com. On the sidebar, there is a button to subscribe in iTunes. I really love to get some more reviews for either this show or Graphically Speaking or just the movie reviews, any of that. There is a donation button on the side that no one will ever use, and that's all right. I'll get over it. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you would like us to discuss on a future show, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, you can send that to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, we're @geekgeneration. I'm @thenightangel, and Brian's @XanderHarris. So you can follow anyone or all of us if you'd like to. We make it easy. As always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. So Brian, I'm going to say, just as a closing thought, that people should probably keep this show, even after you listen to it. Why delete it? You can always come back later. Let's keep it.
I agree, sir. Always keep
always it. Keep it. Sam Grobert, oh, thank you so much for that. Or else we might not have had a show this week. We will see you guys, hopefully, next week.
Peace.